Two Chairs, No Waiting, episode number 522, Mrs. Mendelbright. Two Chairs, No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the great Mayberry things they got there. It's getting close to Easter, so maybe you want to check out the Messages from Mayberry. That's right, it's an Andy Griffith Show Bible study book, a new one at Weavers you might want to check out. And if you don't have it, you need to get it quick, though. This is the way back to Mayberry. Only a few copies of this one left, and we're to the original 2001 edition that's actually signed by the author. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs, No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks at Weavers and listeners just like you. And executive producer of tonight's episode is Clanton Crumble. Clanton came to a Two Chairs, No Waiting meetup back in February, he and his father, Philip. And was so glad to have him. And thank you for being a sponsor for the show. Folks, my name is Alan Newsom. I'm your host here on Two Chairs, No Waiting. And I, like you, am just a big Mayberry fan. So that's what we spend time doing here as part of this podcast, is just enjoying each other's company and talking about the Andy Griffith Show. So if you haven't heard the other 521 episodes of this podcast, if you love the Andy Griffith Show, I know you'd love going back. At least one or two of them must be okay. I don't know. So go back and check them out. We just finished up the Bruce Bilson interviews from 2015. Great series of podcasts. And this one, I don't know how tonight will be compared, because, wow, Bruce, he provided so much great information. But this week, we're going to lead off with Randy Turner from This Week in Mayberry History, because it's kind of what inspired the Mrs. Mendelbright title for our episode tonight, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So let's go and hear from Randy and enjoy his information.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
J. Pat O'Malley was born on March the 15th, 1904, in Lancashire, England, and began his career as a popular singer in the United Kingdom. After completing his studies in London, by the time he was 21, Pat was already singing and recording with orchestras, and in 1930 became the main vocalist with the orchestra led by Jack Hilton, who was known as the British King of Jazz and the ambassador of British dance music. Pat also worked in British vaudeville at the time. Pat recorded more than 400 popular songs with the band, and in 1935 embarked on a solo career while still performing with Hilton. Later that same year, the band came to tour the United States, and Pat decided to stay when the tour was over. In 1940, Pat made his debut in a small role in the film Captain Caution. After two other small film roles, he got his first big break in the popular 1943 family film Lassie Come Home. Starring a young Roddy McDowell and Elizabeth Taylor, the hit film told the original story of Lassie, set in Depression-era London, when the collie had to be sold by a family desperate for money. Lassie eventually escaped her new Scottish home to reunite with her young Yorkshire master. For the film and thereafter, Pat changed his stage name to J. Pat O'Malley, as there was already another actor billed as simply Pat O'Malley. The year after the film was released, Pat made his Broadway debut in the play But Not Goodbye in April 1944, though the play lasted less than a month. Just 2 months later, though, Pat had a complete reversal of luck on The Great White Way when he was part of the original cast of Agatha Christie's Ten Little Indians. The play was a smash and ran for more than a year. Pat did his first of many voice acting jobs for the Disney studio when he played Cyril Proudbottom, first in The Wind in the Willows and then in The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Both shorts were released in 1949, though Pat would have recorded the role much earlier to allow time for the hand-drawn animation to be completed. Pat made his television debut in 1950 in an episode of the live television drama Stage 13. He quickly became a sought-after guest star and did a great deal of early live performances in anthology shows, and continued to stay busy in later anthology shows which began recording their episodes. In 1952, Pat appeared in two more Broadway plays before taking over the role of Inspector Hubbard in another hit play, the original stage version of Dial M for Murder. Pat appeared in dozens of TV series over his career, such as The Real McCoys, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Gunsmoke, Green Acres, I Dream of Jeannie, and Adam 12. He appeared in four episodes of The Twilight Zone. He played a number of recurring characters in series, such as Frontier Circus, My Favorite Martian, Wendy and Me, and Maud. He played Rob Petrie's father in two episodes of The Dick Van Dyke Show, and he co-starred with Shirley Booth in the short-lived 1973 series A Touch of Grace. And, of course, Pat appeared in The Andy Griffith Show. In the Season 4 episode Up in Barney's Room, Pat played the con man Oscar Fields, who tried to swindle Mrs. Mendelbright out of her life's savings. Pat continued to provide voices for Disney animated projects throughout his career, such as in Mary Poppins and 101 Dalmatians. He gave voice to both Twiddledum and Tweedledee, and both the Carpenter and the Walrus in the 1951 Disney film Alice in Wonderland. He also did live-action work for Disney, playing the recurring character Sergeant O'Reilly in the series The Swamp Fox, which aired as part of the parent series Walt Disney Presents. In the Spin and Marty series, which first aired as part of the Mickey Mouse Club, Pat played Perkins, Marty's butler and the assistant cook for the Triple R Ranch. Pat's last role was a guest appearance in a 1982 episode of Taxi. Pat passed away in 1985, shortly before his 81st birthday. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Wow, thank you, Randy, for that great information. If you want to make sure you don't miss any of the great stuff that Randy does on the internet and in other places, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss anything. So, wow, thank you, Randy, for that information about J. Pat O'Malley. I did not know his name, didn't know anything about him. Mr. Fields from the episode there with Up in Barney's Room was, wow, what a different character he was. But, to a large degree, we never saw him, at least not on the Andy Griffith Show, after that. You know, that was the only time we ever saw him. It wasn't a large degree. We never did. But what got me thinking on this was, because of Randy's report, I started trying to think about Mrs. Mendelbright. Well, there was a lot of stuff I didn't know about her. So y'all remember Mrs. Mendelbright? There she is. She was Barney's landlady. And so hopefully you can remember that. It was on Up in Barney's Room was the name of the episode that this was featured in. And this was the 104th episode filmed, and it was aired episode number 105 back in 1963. Okay, so it was written by Everett Greenbaum and Jim Fritzell. Now, you'll remember, this is when Barney was cooking up in his room and, you know, got in trouble for cooking up in his room, and Mrs. Mendelbright was his landlady. Now, if you need information about that, you can head over to mayberry.info and just search at the top up there for Up in Barney's Room, and it'll pop up, and you can go and read more about it. Anyway, so I started trying to find out about the lady herself. The lady who played Mrs. Mendelbright, her name is Enid Markey. That's her name. Now, she, as I said, I started looking into her. I don't know how much you know, but I didn't know much. She created the role. This is what I was amazed at. She created the role of Jane in the first Tarzan movie. Did you have any idea about that? I did not. I had no idea that she had done something like that. So I even went out on the internet and found the actual Tarzan movie. So I'm gonna be playing that in the background here a little bit. Now, again, it's a silent movie, but she is in this movie with Tarzan. Now, she was Jane, the love interest, silent movie from 1918. So as that's playing a little bit, let me tell you a little bit about her. Enid Markey, she was born. I don't have that in this information right here. Let me look real quick. She was born in February the 22nd, 1894. Wow. So here's a report they did when she passed away. She passed away on, at 91 years old on November the 16th, 1981. She lived up in Manhattan, and her career spanned 60 years. And as I said, she was the very first Tarzan. She was Jane in the first Tarzan movie. The guy who played Tarzan name was Elmo Lincoln, was his name. Now, these were all, again, silent movies, and she appeared in several there. But she talks about having been in several of these kind of movies, Tarzan movies, type movies. And she quoted, said, "I was the curly-haired, clinging vine heroine," she once said. "And just when the Indians were going to scalp me or the villain was going to have his way, up would gallop William S. Hart or Elmo Lincoln, and the scene would dissolve and two hearts beating as one." Not too demanding on roles, is what she said. The roles weren't demanding, is what she had said. And she said, "I left the pictures just after I made the first two Tarzan films." So there was two of them. "And I was tired of making faces, and I really wanted to learn to act." So she moved to New York in around 1920. So that's when she moved. And started getting work in New York. And she was on, all kinds of different things there in New York. She made her last Broadway appearance in Only in America. And then another one, I guess these were at the same time, The Ballad of the Sad Cafe and What Did We Do Wrong? Miss Markey returned to Hollywood in 1945 after a 25-year absence to work in films like Snafu, The Naked City, and The Boston Strangler. On radio, she performed a CBS serial called Women of Courage and Grand Central Station. She did a good bit of radio work. And on television, she was seen in things like Bringing Up Buddy, where she co-starred with Frank Attler as his doting aunt. Anyway, I don't know how much you guys are interested in these kind of things, but she was born in Dillon, Colorado. And when she was born, there were no birth records that were kept at that time. And Miss Markey said, "I fibbed about my age so often, I don't quite know exactly how old I am," is what she said. So she took dramatic training as a youngster. And at 15, went to Hollywood with her mother to make the first of her films. While in New York, she lived there in New York. In 1942, she got married to a man named George Cobb. He was an executive at the American Can Company. And he passed away in 1942, and she never remarried. Well, so anyway. I didn't know if you guys would be interested in that or not, but can you believe she was Jane in the Tarzan movies? So if you see if you're watching the video version, I'm showing the Tarzan movie in the background here, about to stop here, but Mrs. Mendelbright was Jane. And, there's all kinds of pictures I was able to go out and find of her as well. Now, some other things that I didn't talk about. The Tarzan movie, by the way, the name of it was called Tarzan of the Apes. And And so she was in that movie. One of the other things I didn't mention is I was researching this. Not only was she Mrs. Mendelbrit on the Andy Griffith Show, but she played Gomer Pyle's grandmother on the 18th episode in season 2 of Gomer Pyle. So she was Gomer's grandmother, and she could tell the future. And in that episode, she was telling Gomer's future and Sergeant Carter's future by just, one of the times she peeled an apple and threw it on the floor, the apple peel, and told Gomer who he was going to marry, I believe. Anyway, so if you have Gomer Pyle on DVD or something, you might want to go and check that out. If you don't have it, you can get it at Weavers. But it was a pretty funny episode. I watched it as I was getting ready for this and did some screen captures so that we could see Mrs. Mendelbrit as Gomer's grandmother. So she was an accomplished actress and did tons and tons of movies. And if you go and look at her IMDb credits and scroll through them, she acted all the way up until 1968 in a movie called The Boston Strangler. But she had tons of credits going back into the silent films back from about 1951 all the way back to 1914 the first one was in 1911 was her first credit. Wow. So anyway, she was a silent film star that I didn't know. Now, I did, as I was looking into this, I kind of go and try to see if Randy Turner had talked about her, because I knew I would not provide the kind of information that Randy can provide, because he's a better researcher than me. But I think it's interesting when we find out some of the things about these actresses and actors from the Andy Griffith Show and just the things that they did in their previous career. So when you see Mrs. Mendelbrit on the next time you see her on the Andy Griffith Show, I want you to think, wow, she was Jane on the first Tarzan movie. Anyway, that's it. That is all I have for us tonight, guys. The last few weeks we have had so much information. This week, I thought I'd give you a little bit of a break. So we're going to have a shorter episode. And well, truthfully, I needed a little bit of a break. So I am going to start letting you out of here. I would love to hear from you. If you give me a call at 888-684-8415 and tell me you're thinking about Mrs. Mendelbrit. By the way, we had a conversation before the podcast. Is it Miss Mendelbrit or Mrs. Mendelbrit? And we used the Andy Griffith Show book by Jim Clark and Ken Beck to determine for certain that she is Mrs. Mendelbrit. So let us know what you think about that. I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415 or email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you've been thinking about the podcast lately and what you love about the Andy Griffith Show. I'd love to hear it. Until next time, folks, have a great week. Good night.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.